Chad Pennington joins us on Sports Byline, former quarterback who played 11 seasons in the NFL, 8 with the Jets, who drafted him in the first round, and 3 with the Miami Dolphins. He was a 2-time NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and he played his college ball at Marshall University. I know you grew up in Knoxville, and your dad was a high school football coach. And one of the things that I found, Chad, about kids that grow up in a football family with a father as a coach, that their foundation for the game is a little bit stronger. Was it that way for you as well?
Oh, there's no question about it. I really enjoyed being around my dad and his high school football players and just getting a football sense and gravitating toward football because you're around the game and just learning the ins and outs of it without it really being crammed down your throat is just a great way to grow up and a fun way to grow up.
What's that tenuous line that you have to walk both as a father who's a coach and also a son who maybe is playing for his father where you don't want to disappoint him and he doesn't want to be too harsh on you?
It definitely is a fine line. And what you have to remember now that I'm a father is that you're dealing with kids and you're dealing with kids that want to do well. None of us want to fail. And you always have to keep that in mind. Even when they fail, they're not trying to. They're trying their best. And you want to come at them with the proper perspective, making sure that you're explaining the game, teaching the game, but they understand that you're in their corner and that you're not looking at them as a failure.
Football really wasn't your first sport. Basketball was, wasn't it, Chad?
I love hoops, and I love the round ball. With my dad being a PE teacher, I had access to a gymnasium at all times, and I was what you'd call a gym rat. I love being in the gym, working on my shot, working on my game. That was certainly, basketball was certainly my first love.
One of the things I do know is your parents were academically oriented, and they had you repeat the eighth grade. What was that about?
Well, repeating the eighth grade, my father felt like I wasn't maturing as fast as some of the other kids in my grade, and he felt like I needed another year of maturity. He also didn't want me to graduate high school at the age of 17, and so it was strictly for maturity reasons and being able to graduate high school at the age of 18. I was a late bloomer, so was he growing up, so he felt like that was the best option for me.
One of the things I know about kids is they can be awfully tough on their peers, and so therefore if one is out, you know, a little bit different than the other, they can really get on them. Was that the case? Did you have to deal with any of that type of ridicule about repeating of grade?
No, I actually changed schools because I was in a public school, and because I wasn't young enough and I didn't fail, I couldn't go back and stay back in that public school system. So I changed schools and went to a private school, Webb School of Knoxville, ended up liking Webb School and stayed there for my high school year, so I was able to avoid that type of ridicule.
I had grandparents that lived in Parkersburg, West Virginia, so I used to visit during the summer, Chad, West Virginia, so I'm very familiar with Marshall. And I know that your parents went to Marshall University. 95, you went to a training camp at Marshall University. Tell me how that experience molded your decision to make the decision to go to Marshall.
Well, with my dad being a high school football coach, he had a friend of his who had two players at Marshall University at the time. I was looking for a small camp to go receive some instruction the summer before my senior year in high school, and they had mentioned coming to Marshall University's camp. So I went up there just trying to get some instruction, trying to become a better high school quarterback. At the time, Jim Donham was the head coach. He liked what he saw, and after the camp, he offered me a scholarship. It was complete luck, really, and one of the best decisions I've ever made.
I was just going to ask, what are the pros and cons of going to a school the size of Marshall instead of going to one of the big football factories?
In my opinion, none. And the reason I say that, coming out of high school, I was realistic about my abilities at the time. But at the same time, I wanted to contribute on the field. And I think that's what all of our student athletes should strive toward, is going to a school where he or she feels like they can contribute on the field or on the court and not just run through the tee or run through the smoke and just be part of it. If that's what you want to do, that's great. But for me, I wanted to be on the field, and I felt like Marshall was the highest level of competition that I could play at and still contribute on the field.
You know, your career at Marshall, the way it started off, was kind of strange. Patience is not something that athletes generally have, but you were the fourth-string quarterback and starting in 95, slated to be redshirted. You led Marshall to the NCAA Division I AA football championship. And then the following year, you were redshirted in favor of Eric Kressler. How hard was it for you to, after being thrown in there and producing as well as you did, to accept all of that?
It was very difficult, knowing that you had led your team to the 1AA National Championship game, and then the next year you competed for the job but knew that you would probably be redshirted. and not be able to be out there with your teammates was very difficult. Luckily, I had a great support system, and having my father as a coach, I could see the coach's perspective. I could understand that personally for me, I needed a year to develop. I needed a year to become stronger. Coach Pruitt, Bob Pruitt at the time, he wanted me to be able to throw the corner route better. He came from Florida. He wanted me to be able to make some of those down-the-field throws better than what I was making them. So even though it was difficult for me competitively, I knew personally I could really make the most out of my situation and have 3 years in Division I.
And, of course, that senior year, very special, undefeated and untied as Marshall goes 13-0 and their third consecutive Mid-American Conference championship. Did you expect to go as high as you did go in the draft?
You know, really and truly, my goals were always just to be the best I could be at that specific time. It was a dream to be an NFL quarterback, but never a goal. I always felt like I needed to keep my goals small and keep working on those smaller goals to eventually reach my dreams. And it wasn't until going into my senior year that I even think I had a chance to be drafted. And then by the end of the year, that's when we started to figure out I may have a chance to be drafted relatively high. But it still depended on how I performed at the combine, how I performed at the Senior Bowl, and went through my interviews. That played a big decision in my chances of being drafted in the first round.
And you were the first quarterback drafted in that 2000 draft and the first of six quarterbacks drafted ahead of Tom Brady. It's one thing to get drafted by Indianapolis, maybe even Tennessee. It's another thing to get drafted by a New York team. And were you prepared emotionally and mentally for New York as a place to play?
I don't think any of us are completely prepared for New York. I was lucky enough to have my degree in journalism. I certainly understood a little bit of the journalistic world. And then having the experiences I had at Marshall prepared me to an extent. But it was still a learning process. There was a learning curve there. I remember my wife and I, we had a little bit of culture shock coming from East Tennessee and Southern West Virginia and going to the Big Apple and being a part of it. Although it was exciting, it was difficult at times.
What about the expectations that go along with being a first-round draft pick at a skill position like quarterback in New York?
It's certainly elevated. When I went to Miami 8 years later, the amount of press in our locker room was about half compared to New York, and that's what it's about in New York. It's such a pressure cooker because you have so many media outlets, so many angles trying to get different stories. So for me, it was a big challenge, but luckily I was able to come in and sit 2 years behind a great veteran in Benny Testaverde, learn the ropes on how to be a professional quarterback, make my mistakes behind closed doors. So when my number was called my third year, I completely felt ready to take on the task and the challenge.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next. As you know, you get drafted high, you get paid a lot of money today, and you're just thrown in there to learn on the job. That's not the way it was. You're absolutely right in the National Football League. What did you see watching Vinny play those first 2 years that helped you in year number three?
Well, first, I watched how he handled his business on and off the field as a true professional, how he handled the media, how he handled his teammates, and then off the field with his family and the things that he had going on. He was a true professional in every sense of the word. I also saw what was important to him with his training and his regiment, his routine on how he prepared both physically and mentally. So I was able to take a lot of those things and add to my repertoire and make sure that I was prepared as well.
I know also you had some injuries in the early part of your career, and that can be confidence sapping, as you know, Chad. And I'm just wondering, as you had to go through those, how did you deal with that factor?
Well, instead of asking why me, I just asked myself, why not me? I'm being put in this position, and there's a reason for it. I don't know what it is, but maybe I could be an inspiration to someone else going through something much tougher than a shoulder injury. I just kept asking myself that question. The biggest thing I learned in going through rehabs and dealing with the injuries, people don't realize how much energy you spend both mentally and physically just to get back to a place in your career where you can just compete. Not maybe even play at a high level, just be available. And so there were plenty of times where I went into training camps after rigorous rehab that I was completely exhausted, but I knew that's what I needed to do to try to get back out on the field and compete for my job again.
And what is the driving force that makes you or any athlete feel that way? Because everybody at the professional level certainly has that same attitude.
Just the competitive drive, the will to succeed. For me as a quarterback, the desire to be in the huddle with my teammates and lead a group of men. That to me is the greatest thing about the quarterback position. It's the most unique position in all of sports, and you have an opportunity not only to perform but to lead men and to lead a group toward a common purpose and common goal, and I always loved that challenge.
You obviously, a key date was August 7th, 2008. The Jets acquire former Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre, leading to your release later on that day. Was that something that was deflating to you, or how did you look upon it and say, hey, I'm just looking for another environment and I can still play this game?
Actually, I felt really good about the training camp that I was having. I felt like I was in the best shape of my life at 32 years old. I was throwing the ball better than I ever had before, especially coming off some surgeries. And so it was almost like a breath of fresh air for me. And sometimes we need a change of scenery to re-energize us, and being able to have an opportunity to go to Miami and be a part of a team that was struggling at the time, and I could plug myself in and be an asset to the team and a positive one at that, I felt like it was a great challenge, and it was kind of an oasis for me. I really had a great time. It came at the right time in my career.
That 2008 season with Miami, 67.4% completion percentage. You led the NFL and broke the Miami single season 64.2 by Dan Marino in 84. Was that the best season in your pro career then, Chad?
I would say the 2008 season and the 2002 season rank right up there together. 2008, probably a little bit more because of the challenge. I was going to a 1-15 Miami Dolphin team, a very young team, and we were able to take that team and turn it into an 11-5 historical team that won the AFC East division, and that was very gratifying for me just to be able to be a part of that.
You know, when you take a look at the end of your career with Miami, you were really ascending, and then you had the injury on the basketball court, and did it just wear you down having to say, oh, I've got to come back once again?
Well, really, I was actually, when I had the injury on the basketball court, I was rehabbing my fourth shoulder surgery. And I was contemplating possibly retiring at that point. And I think the injury on the basketball court just put the nail in the coffin for me and kind of showed me that it was time to walk away from the game. And really, the ultimate decision for me was I had to ask myself, could I look a general manager or a coach in the face and go, yes, you can trust my shoulder? And I couldn't trust my shoulder myself, and I certainly wasn't going to ask my boss to trust my shoulder when I couldn't. So I didn't want to put my team or anyone I was working for in that situation.
After your career now over with and you have a chance to reflect back on it, is there a particular memory or two that kind of sticks out in your mind, Chad, that makes you smile and you can appreciate on a personal level?
Oh, there's no question. There's two memories. Number one, as far as the team and team success go, the 2002 year when we were able to beat the Green Bay Packers and then beat the Colts 41-0 in the first round of the playoffs and make NFL history by being one of the first teams to start off 2-5 and win the division and then go in the playoffs with a victory. That was special. And then the 2008 season, having the biggest, largest turnaround in NFL history from 1-15 to 11-5. You remember those times, and the reason you remember those times is because of the men that you worked with and the great teammates and coaches that you had. They just make things like that very special.
I noticed this note in your bio, and I've got to ask you about when you married your college girlfriend, Robin Hampton, that you famously brought your Jets playbook on the honeymoon. Now, is that fact or is that fiction, Chad?
That is completely fact. My thought process at the time was, well, if she's going to bring her magazines and read GQ and all those great things, I might as well bring something I'm interested in reading. And that was my playbook at the time.
Just one final question. When you look back on a career from a health standpoint, are you able to get on with your life? Are you pleased with having played this game at this level?
I count myself extremely blessed and very lucky to be able to survive four shoulder surgeries, play 11 years, and beat the average of 3.5 years by a long shot, and now still be able to step out on the football field or in the backyard and play with my three sons and throw the football with them and do all the things that we like to do as a family. So I can certainly say that I'm extremely blessed and very lucky to be able to do that.
Well, Chad, thank you for spending some time with us. And again, congratulations on the outstanding career. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Chad Pennington with us, former quarterback who played 11 seasons in the NFL, 8 with the Jets, who drafted him in the first round, 18th overall, and three seasons with the Miami Dolphins, 2 times the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.